Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
What are you doing? I look over there and you're yawning like a big cat. Wake up, Chris. It is time to do some radio. Let's get some energy in there.
One last gasp.
Greetings and salutations, everybody. You know, yawns are like contagious. You can't watch somebody else yawn and then not yawn like 2 seconds later.
I didn't like draw attention to it. I was yawning. I got a cup of coffee.
Oh, we are good to go. I am Craig Sheeman. Pete Shepherd is on a two-day sabbatical playing a little Ryder Cup golf. We wish him well with that. He'll be back on Monday. Chris is on the other side of the glass on a big, big Thursday. Lots to talk about today and a couple of guests on the program as well. First of all, in this first hour, at the bottom of the hour, we will talk with Jay Williams. Jay Will, former Duke basketball player, going to be part of the new morning show, Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Once we talk to him, we will have completed the trifecta. We will have spoken to all three members of the new morning show on ESPN Radio, which gets ready to debut on Monday. So we are looking forward to that. Also, it is a Thursday. Thirsty Nick will be checking in at the 3 o'clock hour and then a quiz. Now that Pete's on here, maybe I can catch up a little bit. I don't know what the topic is, but we'll have that at 3 o'clock. We'll play Craigopedia instead of Wikipedia. I don't know what the topic is. Chris, do you? Do we know what it is yet?
Yeah, it's National Left-Handers Day. Yeah. So we will do lefties in sports.
Okay, very good. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, I believe we will talk with Rick Haro. I don't know that I got an email from him this week, but lots of business stuff going on in sports that we need to talk about. Lots regarding college football still. Nebraska backing off their plan to go rogue. Yeah. I think somebody slapped them. We will probably spend more time talking Purdue football than at any other time today. I'll tell you why.
Exciting.
Because Jeff Brohm, their head coach, has put together a plan forward for spring football. He's put some thought into it. He's throwing it out there. Let others pick it apart. We'll see if it's the beginnings of a plan for spring football. So we will discuss. I must admit, it is interesting. We have more problems at Florida State with their football program. Not COVID-related, but Mike Norvell is just pissing off players left and right. I'll tell you what that's all about. We'll dive a little deeper into Dabo Sweeney's comments about, the national championship counts. I don't care if there's one conference playing. This is a national championship.
Of course he would say that.
Of course he would.
Did you think Dabo was going to say anything other than that?
No, I did not.
He's not going to lay the groundwork to delegitimize a possible national championship for Clemson.
That's right.
That'd be silly.
I believe there's a clause in his contract that says
extra
$500,000 bonus for a national championship.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, follow the money trail on everything. The Southland Conference, I know a lot of you don't pay attention to Southland Conference football. They have come up with another plan of their own that is different than anybody else's. I'll share that with you.
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, it's unique. It's very unique.
Who is the Southland?
This would be your Sam Houstons, your Lamars, your Northwestern
states.
Again, you probably don't pay a lot of attention to Southland Conference football. But they have a plan that's completely different from anybody else involving playing football. When we get to the NFL, we'll talk about Jerry Jones and his national anthem policy. I don't think he has one. We'll talk about that. Tua, have a little fun in front of the media today. We'll tell you what he did. Hard Knocks is ready. I'm almost ready to stop talking about Hard Knocks. This is our fourth Hard Knocks season. We usually come out swinging the day after it airs on Tuesday nights. We didn't do it much this week. And now the ratings are abysmal. Almost none of you watched Hard Knocks. I'm being generous. Almost none of you watched it. And that's with two fan bases in a major market.
One and a half.
True. That's true. The NBA down to the nitty gritty. We have one playoff spot left. Pretty much know how everything else is going to go. And we have some interesting games today that will decide final spots. We'll get into some baseball. The Cubs are red hot. Your Marlins.
What a baseball game. How about that, Buffalo? That's what MLB baseball is all about.
That was interesting against the Blue Jays. What'd you give up? Seven home runs and still won. Seven, blowing a lead.
Yep, seven home runs. Gave up an 8-0 lead, I believe, in the fourth inning.
Yes.
And it wasn't like all the runs came in at once. A lot of two-run innings, couple one-run innings sprinkled in there, but a W's a W.
What was the time of game on? It had to be 4.5 hours. But was extra
what time did it
too?
End? Yeah, it ended in the 10th.
Yeah. Had to be late.
Seven. I got done watching that. It was a 3.5 hour game.
Now, also, when we talk baseball later on, Joe Kelly, he's the pitcher for the Dodgers that threw at the Astros and was making – had an 8-game suspension. Now, that got reduced, right?
Yeah, it got dropped down to five or six.
I thought it was six.
It might
go back up. He's still bothered.
He's fantastic.
These quotes are gold.
He is fantastic.
We will get in all that. And then I do want to bring this subject up later on. There was an MLS game last night. And there were a spattering of fans allowed, and there were boos when the players kneeled during the national anthem. And the player went off on the fans. The player, Reggie Cannon, is a player.
Good player.
Okay, is he?
Yeah, he is. Well, I wouldn't say a lock to be part of the U.S. men's national team when they start playing competitive games again, but he's in the mix.
Okay.
He'll be invited to camps.
Well, he's on my S list right now. I'm going to tear into him later on today. So I think that is a pretty full plate for the next 4 hours on a Thursday. That's just kind of the rundown of how we're going to attack the day. Chris, I haven't forgot about it. I did want to read one quick text. A bunch of texts came in right at the beginning of the show. I like this one from Green Falcon. I actually left it from this morning. He had to take his boss's vehicle to do her a favor, and the station she had started playing John Denver's Country Roads. Well, he knows that John Denver's on my list of hatred, but he can't decide if that's sad or if his second thought was, yeah, take that, Craig, as if he was aware of it. And so he says, you guys just seep into our brains little by little every facet of the day. I absolutely, absolutely love that. All right, I'll read some more of these in just a few moments. A lot to do. Anytime you want to jump on. It's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. And with that, we kick off the first one of the day. Time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
Daytime baseball going on. Bottom of the third, Citi Field. Mets and Nats tied at one. Got Rays taking on the Red Sox. First pitch, 4:30. Check that game out, ESPN+. NBA action from the bubble in Orlando. 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Celtics and Wizards tied 85-85 into the first quarter. Lakers up on the Kings 40-30. And in under an hour, the Tampa Bay Lightning will try to go up 2-0 on the Columbus Blue Jackets on NBCSN.
Is there a day where a professional hockey player doesn't want to play?
Would today
be the day for the Lightning? I mean, they still got to be sore from the five overtimes less than 48 hours ago.
Got to squeeze the games in, Craig. We got to squeeze them in.
I know.
We got to get these games played.
If I were them, I'd be dreading today.
Okay, the Hurricanes and Bruins, they played a double overtime game yesterday, and they play tonight at 8.
That's got to be rough.
Yeah, that's got to be rough. And again, this 3 o'clock window on Tuesday... was the same window where the Lightning and Blue Jackets played a 5 overtime game and finished right around 9 o'clock at night.
Right. It's incredible. Good thing Pete's not here. We got a live look-in on the Buccaneers training camp.
We're getting live look-ins across NFL training camps, and I'm all about that life. That's the good life.
That is the good life. But with Tom Brady, now we like the Buccaneers, even though we have our favorite teams. We like the Buccaneers. We're a Buccaneers station. We carry their games. We want them to do well. But Pete's whole component with Tom Brady, I mean, he would be worthless right now. It'd be like doing like a solo show without him right now because he'd be watching all over every move that Tom Brady made and how good he looks and his passes against nobody are fantastic. I know that's what would be going on right now. Instead, he's playing golf.
Oh, he looks good. Tight spiral.
Not wearing a visor.
This reminds me of Tom Brady back in 2013 before he went, I don't know.
Yeah.
He does look good in the creamsicle, though.
Yeah.
I like the creamsicle orange.
Is he the only one? The quarterbacks get
quarterbacks
to wear
the orange, yeah.
That's the don't touch me shirt.
Yeah. Normally red, but the Bucks have red, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Change it up.
Yeah, change it up. We got a text from Sad Knicks fan. He says, as soon as Craig called out Chris for yawning and saying it's contagious, I too began to yawn. Yeah. And he's drinking a Red Bull at this. I'm telling you, it's, there's something contagious about it. Cougar Hunter sending me a picture of a sloth yawning. I have not yawned yet. It has not affected me. I'm rolling. Rolling with full energy. So let's get to it. Let's talk a little college football right now. So after the Big Ten and Pac-12 decided they're going to postpone things and possibly, hopefully, play in the spring, there were some schools out there, some Nebraska, Penn State, Ohio State. Ryan Day was very vocal. They were going to look at some other options, maybe going rogue, playing, being an independent for a year, making their own schedule. Well, there must have been some slapback because Nebraska has announced that they are ending any talks of playing outside of the Big Ten. Remember, Desmond Howard said, kick him out. We don't need you. You're not Nebraska. You're not Notre Dame.
Desmond Howard. And who are you, Michigan?
He's one of our best representatives of all time as a Heisman Trophy winner out of the Big Ten.
Little get off your high horse, though, huh, Desmond?
But he's also on ESPN every Saturday, so he's paid to have an opinion. His opinion was Nebraska, see ya. We don't need you. Which I kind of agree with. They're more Big 12-ish than they are Big 10-ish.
They should be Big 12-ish. They absolutely should be. But don't act like when Nebraska has it working, they wouldn't be an asset to the Big 10. That's false. Now, they haven't had it working since joining the Big 10. But Scott Frost, man, he could maybe turn that around one day.
Pete says coach of the year 3 years in a row. No. Still waiting. Look, he was fine at Central Florida. But we'll see how he... he fares in the long run.
He was very good at Central Florida.
He was perfect.
Well, one season he was. Remember, right. He took over a team that didn't win a game in George O'Leary's final game.
Yeah.
Or final season.
So we'll give him credit. You talk about worst to first. That's about as extreme as you can go.
And it was in two seasons.
From winless to no
He went losses. Winless to undefeated in two seasons.
That's pretty good.
Very good.
But
not at Nebraska. It hasn't worked out yet.
Yeah, that ain't Nebraska.
And on his side of the Big Ten, easier to get it up and running than on the other side of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Really, you got Wisconsin that you got to compete with. And other than that,
yeah,
maybe Northwestern has a good team, you know, 1 year. It's Iowa's turn 1 year, but
right.
They're gettable.
There's another reason, of course. Let me remind you that the Big Ten last year, including its TV network, made $781 million. It's almost a billion-dollar league per year. Nebraska's cut from that was $55.5 million. It's like, here you go. Here's just a check. This isn't like a game check or a stadium check or revenue from tickets or concessions or parking. No, here's an extra $55.5 million. You're welcome.
Do you know what other conferences mean?
Less. Well, I don't know what the SEC did. I don't. But I think the Big Ten's the most profitable. And it's because of the Big Ten network. If you want to find a different number, go ahead. Go for it. Ohio State also says their AD, Gene Smith. You got a number? You got a number on how profitable the SEC is?
Nah, I got revenues in the ACC, $465 million.
Okay, 465 compared to 781. I'm gonna assume the SEC is much higher than that.
So this was put out May 24th of 2019. It says from the previous year, each ACC member received distribution of $29.5 million.
All right, Big Ten teams are getting $55 million. So it's a lot of money to be fooling around if you're Nebraska. How bad do you want to be running your mouth?
Okay, here we go. Big Ten revenues, $760 million, $54 million for sure per school. SEC, $43.1 million per school. Big 12, $33.6 million per school. And I don't have.
What was the Big 12 again?
The Big 12 was... 33.6 million.
Okay, Nebraska, do you want the 55 mil from the Big Ten, or do you want the 30 some mil from the Big 12, which is controlled by the Texas Longhorn Network? I'm just saying. So I think that's why they piped down.
Pac-12 and ACC were both $29.5 million each.
All right. Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, also says we will no longer pursue playing a rogue schedule, if you will. In fact, we'll hear from Ryan Day in Sound Street before the hour is up. All right, so as of right now, what we have is we have a Power 3 in the fall. We have a Power 2 in the spring. The big question is, how will spring football work? Already a lot of criticism about, wow, you can't jam in a schedule in the spring and turn around 3 months later and do another full schedule that's two seasons within, you know, 6 months for these kids and these student athletes. You can't do it. So Jeff Brohm, the head coach of Purdue, has put together a plan. I would like to discuss it. There are, I think, some valuable things here. And you Power 3 people, according to me, you better pay attention to this because you may be playing in the spring as well. I know we've had some disagreements. We've had some discussions about this, as whether they just, guys, right now, the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12 are moving forward with their fall plan. I'm not, there's no news there. I'm just of the opinion that as we get closer to the date, they're going to have to flip the script and go to the spring or have nothing. And we'll see. I think Chris and I even have a sandwich bet on it. I think we're good to go on that. So here's the Purdue plan. Jeff Brohm just wants to play an 8-game schedule. And it would start February 27th. So whoever was suggesting that we start in the beginning of January, that's nonsense. February 27th, run through April 17th, and then have a postseason through May 15th. That part was interesting to me. All right, so first of all, you start February 27th. Have you ever been in West Lafayette on February 27th? No, it's the dead of winter. I mean, there's no fall foliage, nothing. It's dead. It's icicles. It's snowbanks. It's miserable. It's 19 degrees. Can't do it. But he is suggesting that all these Big Ten teams who are in the north start out with their first two games on the road at more southern schools in the Big Ten. Okay, fine.
Okay. Is that like Ohio State? I mean, is that a southern school in the Big Ten?
I'm thinking of the map right now in my head.
Iowa
and Bloomington, Indiana, are about your most southern points in Big Ten country, which are still god awful.
But it's still god awful. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know what that. I don't know what that changes.
That doesn't really change anything. But he also, so he's got room. So if the season ends April 17th, but the postseason wrapped up by May 15th, what's he thinking here? He didn't spell this out. Are they still doing a bowl game? Are they playing their own playoff? I mean, he's got a plan for a 4 or 6 team playoff, I guess, with the Big Two, which leads to a problem, which we'll get into later, about Dabo, who says, no, our Power Three counts as a championship. Well, somebody's going to be hanging a championship banner in the spring. We're going to have, it's going to be like the old days where you got the UPI champion and the AP will
there
champion.
Will there be a playoff in the spring?
He's got room for a 4 or 6 team playoff.
He can have whatever room he wants to have. If the college football playoff they're going to run an event. The college football playoff is going to be a singular event.
Right.
They're not going to let the fall season play out, go on winter vacation, have Christmas, have Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Then we'll come back after Valentine's Day, play the spring schedule, and then we'll figure out the top four. They can't do that. That's ridiculous. You can't have a playoff that's sanctioned by anybody with two conferences.
Can you have it with three?
Yeah, I don't have three. I have three power conferences. I also have the AAC. I have a lot more than everybody else, or than the spring schools do.
All right. Well, I mean, that's what we're going to have to discuss today and try and figure out. I'm seeing a future with multiple championships, which is just stupid.
Yes. Battle of the champions.
Oh, and you know what? I got the perfect solution. Let's have the championship in January with the Power 3 plus whatever.
Yeah.
Let's have our Big Ten Pac-12 champion and then make those two winners week zero's season opener
next
year, 2021.
Next year.
How about we do that? That'd be fantastic. He's also reducing padded practices from like 114 to 52 if you're not a bowl game, 144 to 66 if you're a bowl team. So he's still planning for bowls. He also wants 3 months off after the spring of 2021 and then only one padded practice per week. And he also suggests that the mid-year freshmen, sometimes seniors in high school will finish in December and then go to their college in that spring. That doesn't happen often, but it does happen. And he says those freshmen will be eligible to play immediately in the spring of 2021. So that is the Jeff Brohm plan for Purdue. Would like your reaction to that. Is that feasible? Is it crazy? Is it out there? 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Again, I'm still of the opinion that the Power 3 will bail on the fall and move to the spring, so we may all have to be discussing this possible scenario as we move on. All right? So ponder that. We're going to be discussing it on and off throughout the day. Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Alex, you're our first caller today. What do you think of this plan, Alex?
Well, no. First, Lafayette stinks. I mean, the biggest world of twine, whatever. But what's happened is all these conferences got their money already from TV rights. I mean, basically, stadium gate, concessions, or poured out, whatever. Mm-hmm. So what's their reason?
Whose reason? The Big Ten?
Yeah. What's their reason? Why to play? You got your paycheck.
Okay,
already.
First of all, I don't know if they've gotten their paycheck or not. I haven't heard that anywhere. I know, for example, if there's a work stoppage in the NFL, the owners still get paid. I don't know that they're paid in advance. But anyway, that's a moot point.
We're talking pro sports.
Hold on, Alex. Alex! Radio does not work when two people talk at the same time. So here's the deal. You ask me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. Why? The reason is because if the Big Ten or the Pac-12, they don't play, their schools are going to lose $70 to $100 million. In the spring, they're hopeful they can still put fans in the seats. They're hopeful we'll have a vaccine by January. They're hoping life is back to normal in the spring. That's why they're coming up with plans like these in answer to your question.
I think what it becomes more, Craig, than anything, is your thought perception of reality with the COVID and the actual reality of COVID.
Do you? You're not making any sense. You're not following through, Alex. I'm done with you. Now, I want to bring up another thing you brought up regarding the TV revenue. We learned several months ago that the TV money take for college football in relation to the revenue for tickets and concessions, much different model than in the NFL. They still make a boatload of money in college football, and their revenue comes in from tickets, parking, and concessions. It's a much larger percentage as compared to TV revenue than, say, the NFL. All right? You didn't make sense there. Thank you for the call. I did. We're going to break here. Coming up, we got Jay Will coming up. Jason Williams can be part of the new morning show for ESPN Radio. So we'll have that. Don't forget Red Sox baseball tonight.
No. Tomorrow night.
Thank you.
The Red Sox play at 4:30, and we weren't going to bump us for Red Sox baseball.
Why wouldn't we bump us? Exactly. Okay. Yankees, Red Sox tomorrow. Coverage starts at 6:30, first pitch 7:30. Red Sox baseball on 99.3 ESPN in Southwest Florida, brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Jason Williams from ESPN Radio coming up next. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. ESPN Radio debuting a brand new lineup coming up on Monday. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin will be doing mornings. Jay Williams, of course, former Duke basketball player, national champion, been on ESPN for a long, long time as a commentator and analyst, former Chicago Bull as well, and he joins us right now. J. Will, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? You know, I'm just 2020 like everybody else. Just barely limping ahead, just trying to make it out. You know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. It's not been a fun year, but we are looking forward to your new morning show. But before we start, I have a question for you. Was my producer Chris nice to you when he answered the phone? He is the most obnoxious Tar Heel fan I know, and I want to know if he was polite to you.
Well, he was very quick. He was very welcoming. But I have to tell you this, and this is for Chris as well.
Yeah.
I grew up a Tar Heel fan.
Oh.
I loved North Carolina basketball. I went to go to school at North Carolina when I was a little boy, even so much that we drove down there. Bill Guthridge and company started recruiting me. First, Dean Smith sent me my first letter. Then Bill Guthridge started recruiting me. And then I went to the Nike All-American camp where, for some reason, I don't know, I was a scorer. I played the two and the three in high school. But for some reason at the All-American camp, I just started passing the ball, and I averaged like 17 assists. And then Bill Guthridge told me that they already had a point guard at North Carolina, and that his name was Ronald Curry, and that there wasn't enough room on the roster for me. And then I fell in love with Coach K, and then I was angry, and then I wanted to destroy and annihilate North Carolina every time we played. So it comes from a loving place. Yeah. I just want Chris to know that. It's all love, Chris.
I consider this kind of breaking news. This is an awesome way to start this conversation.
Jay, that hurts me because you caused me an awful lot of pain as a young man, but you're forgiven,
hey,
I guess.
You caused it yourself. You caused it yourself. That's not my fault. I want to share in the joy and the love of basketball with Tar Heel Nation. It just worked out that way.
Well, all right. We have spoken. We talked to Keyshawn last week and talked to.
How was that?
Well, it's fine. But he's not bringing. He didn't bring the energy you're bringing, Jay. Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to like having you on. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm going to like having you on. We had Zubin on a few weeks ago too. So I got all three of you on. We're very thrilled and excited. What can you tell us? Who's going to be the alpha dog on this show? How is this show going to be different from the usual morning shows we've heard on ESPN for the last 20 years?
You know what I recognize? I don't have to be the alpha dog in order to have a successful show. So I think what you have is, look, Keyshawn is Keyshawn Johnson. I'm really surprised that he didn't bring the energy on the show because he is the most flamboyant wide receiver I've ever seen in my life. I mean, today we were doing a rehearsal. And he was like, man, I got to tell you, Deion Sanders is wearing this really weird suit, and he was out there. And I'm like, did you just say that Deion Sanders is out there? Because you're Keyshawn Johnson. You're really out there every time you talk.
Yeah.
So I think for him and I, it was funny when I first met him and we first got on a lot of these different affiliate calls, you know, every time they would ask a question, he just started talking, right?
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, I'm like, okay, Keyshawn, you're going to try to bulldoze me now. Okay, yeah. Every time. And now I know that I was the second pick. That Yao Ming, there was a 7'6" guy in the draft. That's fine. Yeah. I accepted that. And I thought the morning show name would be like, oh, the morning show, yeah. Or morning rift. But, you know, we got really creative when we came out with a name called Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. But just because your name is first now, don't mean that you're always going to be first to the mic. So it's really been funny because now in our rehearsals, like, we just go back and forth.
Yeah.
And nobody really has this mentality where we're going to back down. So, but it's cool because I also feel like he's a big brother to me, right? Mm-hmm. And he knows football, man. He is a savant when it comes to routes and things that he sees in his life. So I acquiesce to him when it comes to football, but I'm also a football fan.
Yeah.
So me being a football fan, I can challenge the status quo, and he feels the same way with me in basketball. So I think what we've seen over the last couple of days is that, hey, when you have a topic and you're passionate, cook, do your thing. And when I have a topic and I'm passionate, let me do my thing. And when we both feel like we want to do our thing, let's have some fun, because the more that we bring the energy together, the better off the show will be.
Jay Williams is with us from ESPN Radio, going to be the new morning show co-host starting on Monday here on Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN. The NBA bubble seems to be working swimmingly. Could you do it? And then how about are they going to have to do it again? Because when the next season's supposed to start, you know, we're not going to have vaccines and stuff yet. So how does that look? Is anybody thinking that far forward?
Well, yeah, you know, so today on our rehearsal, she asked Woj, because, you know, the NBA just made this announcement, and Woj broke the story about the NBA at this juncture of the playoffs coming up that start on Monday, August 17th is also when our show starts. Great timing, by the way. ESPN did that correctly.
Yeah.
That they're allowing, you know, wives and spouses and children and, quote, long-lasting friends, unquote.
Right.
Don't know exactly what that means. Oh, the IG model that I just became friends with 2 weeks ago? Oh,
yeah.
She's been my friend for the past year. Let her come.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that's a deeper story. But I think what you're seeing is now they are starting to trial opportunities because they're going to need to do this for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. But what Woj broke was essentially saying that he thinks that the NBA is going to do more regional bubbles. And playing more, hey, we're going to play a month here and then take some time off and then obviously come back and then play another month. Take some time off, come back and then play another month. All in these regional bubbles. So you get a chance to see your regional geographical pocket.
Yeah.
You know, if your team's in Texas, Houston, Dallas, teams of that sort, you'll be in more of a regional bubble until you have that time off. then you'll constantly be tested throughout that time off. And then when you come back, you'll then be transported, I've been up since 2:30 in the morning, to another bubble, yeah. And then play a month in that bubble and try to sustain and create longer runway that way, which actually seems like a feasible solution. I mean, if there's any league that is progressive and actually get to put your faith behind how they're doing it, yeah. It would probably be the NBA or the NHL right now, or even MLS, mm-hmm. with them moving forward with the bubble idea.
All right, let's talk about some other plans that aren't working as well or might not work as well. Let's talk with college football here. We've got the Power 3 in the fall, a Power 2 in the spring. Are we going to have two national championships? Does the championship have an asterisk in it? Dabo Sweeney says no. I mean, what are your thoughts on what you have witnessed in the last week? In particular, like the Big Ten releases their schedule, everything's going fine on Thursday, and by Saturday, presidents are saying, nah, we're probably not going to do it in the fall. This has been insane.
It's been embarrassing. It's been really embarrassing. And I'll give you this. You're the first person I heard say Power 2 and Power 3. I'll take it even another step. How about Power 1?
Yeah.
I mean, these conferences are being autonomous. They're acting in their best way. And how about the uproar that you see, how rebellious people are? Even Scott Frost, you talk about the head coach from Nebraska saying, we're going to go find a way to play. We'll leave. And then Kevin Warren, the commissioner, having to come back and say, what are you talking about? And then ultimately Nebraska tracking back his statements by saying, you know, we actually want to be part of the Big Ten. Oh, I wonder why. I can give you 55 million reasons why they're backtracking on their statements, right?
Yeah.
So it's embarrassing because I don't know who to believe anymore, guys. Mm-hmm. And maybe you guys can help me with this. I'm watching Bob Bolsky say, I might have butchered his last name, but the commissioner for the Big 12 come out and say, hey, I have trust in our data and our information. I have trust in our president's data and information, and we don't believe in the fourth state. We're going to move forward. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, you were the athletic director for Stanford. You're obviously progressive, and you're going to move forward with the Big 12, but the Pac-12 and Larry Scott just pulled out.
Right.
Kevin Warren, the Big 10, they just said they value player safety and health mentally and physically before they do on-the-field play. They backed out.
Yeah.
But now you guys are moving forward? And you have somebody that leads like the chief disease office at Duke, they're coming out and saying they think it's safe for players to play. And John Swofford, the ACC, is listening to that. And I'm saying, so we don't have centralized information?
Right.
We don't have one team that's working collaboratively together to come up with a consensus about what's in the best interest of the quote-unquote student athlete?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Totally agree.
Like, how do you? And my last thing I'll say about this, you know, because I heard – the term liability comes up, and that's a really big thing. Like, imagine if somebody died on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about the liability associated with kids that are coming to school?
Right.
There's no liability with that.
Right.
So what you're saying is, I'm not really worried about somebody dying on campus as much as I'm worried about somebody dying on the field, and that gets put out on national TV. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, my whole life you've been telling me that the student athlete is just the same as the student, but now you're saying you're willing to go through these crazy protective measures to make sure that the student athlete continues to play, but you're not going to do that the same thing for the student?
Yeah.
That's interesting to me.
Very, very. There's a bunch of hypocrisy or just mixed messages throughout this whole thing. And as we go forward, Jay, how about the prospect of college basketball? My gut feeling right now is that we'll just start with conference play only in January. I don't know that. Nobody said that, but that seems to be the road we're heading down, right?
It does, and I think basketball is a little bit different, and I'm not biased. Like, I want to see sports as much as anybody, guys. Like, my whole weekends are college football, NFL, and obviously I've called college basketball for a very long time and doing NBA now as well. So I want to see sports, but, you know, football's hard. 88 guys on the roster. It's a lot of individuals there, okay?
Yeah.
A lot of people, staff, all the people that you're traveling with. How do you control that? And we're talking about a full season, whereas college basketball – if you have 13, 14 people on a team, you know, you can stay isolated more. You can do, and what I've been hearing is, hey, it's more of a regionalized pocket. So let's say if you're in an ACC, if you're Duke, you can play Wake Forest. You can play North Carolina. You could play North Carolina State. Maybe this year you played them three times. Maybe if you want Boston College or Syracuse to come down, they stay, they quarantine for a week, and then they play all these teams in this regional area two times. Right, so I think there are ways that you can do it because the volume isn't as high as it is in football. And if there's any advantage that basketball has, is right now they're just sitting back and they're watching the way football is handling different things, and it will give them an advantage because they can take all that data and they can also watch, you know, are we having an increase in COVID cases as the season gets colder, right? Because we don't know. We thought the numbers would be going down when it gets hot outside.
Yeah.
We were wrong about that, right? So
right.
I think now the collection of all that data only helps them and gives them somewhat of an advantage.
Jay Williams is with us, going to be part of the new morning show at ESPN Radio. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin starting on Monday. All right, let me ask you this. I'm interested in your opinion regarding Zion, the lawsuit with the marketing company, the improper benefits.
It's gonna
come up a time or two on your morning show, so we might as well,
wait,
get
I can
the
neither confirm nor deny any information. I'm sorry, go with
this. I was gonna ask you, do you think this ultimately has Coach K with some uncomfortable testimony at some point?
I'm really sorry, you're breaking up. I've been hearing a lot of static on that question. Can you repeat the question, please?
I can. Are you going to hear it?
I'm going to hear it the second time.
All right. Any uncomfortable testimony for Coach K regarding Zion coming up?
You know, look, is that going to be challenging depending upon what happens? Of course it is. I will say this. I don't know what people's parents do. I don't know what kids are privy to. Mm-hmm. I do not. And, you know, this whole situation that has arisen, could that be a problem for Duke? Yeah, it could be a major problem for Duke. I think right now there's still not enough information out there on it. And I have to be real with you guys. I'm not up on the information as much as I should be because we've been launching a show and I've been waking up at 2 o'clock every single morning and I've been tired every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, can you guys fill me in some information? The last I saw of this is that, you know, they were trying to sue in the lawsuit. It didn't really pan out because they had insufficient information. Is that where we're at right now? You guys are obviously more up to date on this than I am.
It seems like it's in limbo right now to me. I'm like you. I kind of lost. It looked like we were heading toward a fast track where something was going to happen, and then there was a stay, which bought everybody some time, and I think that's where we're at right now. I don't think there's anything new.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there is evidence that would support him taking money, I do know that. And I don't know his name exactly, but one of the characters in this whole equation, I know that there was history of him, you know, being involved in another lawsuit against Luka Doncic and his mother, because Bill Duffy, who was my agent, also represents Luka Doncic. And I heard about this before. So I know that same character is now involved in this lawsuit with Zion. But it's hard for me to say anything. Look, if there's evidence that supports this, and we actually, that evidence come to light, then guys, I have to be real. Like, if stuff happened that supports that, then we'll have to deal with that. But until that happens, you know, I don't think there's a need for Coach K to say anything. I don't know what happened. I don't know all the details, but there's no need for Coach K or anybody to say anything until there's evidence that actually supports that and it's concrete.
Yeah. Jay, you did great there, by the way. I think you're going to do great on the
Thank
morning
you.
Show. We're looking forward to your debut on Monday. It is Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin. That's the new morning show at ESPN Radio. Thank you for your time. Great conversation today.
I appreciate you guys. And hopefully I'll be invited back down to Fort Myers and I hang out with you guys and we can have a drink and talk more sports.
Absolutely, my man. We will do that. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Jay Williams, former Duke basketball player, NBAer, and now ESPN commentator, and will be the morning show co-host on Monday. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin. I have mentioned that I have spoken to all three of them now. We talked to Zubin many, many weeks ago, I believe, when Pete was on vacation. Pete and I both talked to Keyshawn last week, and Jay, Will here. I like that conversation. Look, if he brings that on the mornings, it's going to be pretty good. I will take your thoughts on it as well at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. All right, we'll recap some things from that conversation. We've had a very busy first hour. We got Sound Street coming up next. And as I mentioned, the all-new ESPN radio lineup on Monday with Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin. Followed by the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotz. It's from 10 to noon now. Mike Greenberg back. We spoke with Mike Greenberg as well. His show will be our new lead-in from noon to 2 starting on Monday. Sheeman and Shepherd remains from 2 to 6. Nothing changing there. And that's it. The all-new ESPN radio lineup debuting on Monday. Sound Street next. More comments from that conversation and our first hour coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, here we go. Let's talk some college football. Ryan Day, you know him, head coach at Ohio State. There was some talk maybe they'd look for some other opponents, non-Big Ten teams, and play college football in the fall. That's not the case. Not going to happen. Ryan Day saying not having football in the fall stinks, but he can't dwell on it.
It is going to be very, very difficult. You know, this whole year has been difficult. But you know, we're going to stick together and work through it, and it's going to be difficult for a lot of people. There's no question. It hurts. You know, I have a range of emotions. Again, you know, just sad, angry, frustrated, all of the above. And I think our players do as well. But they're a mature group. I think you'd just really be impressed by the way that they've handled themselves. And, you know, they feel like they've had something taken away from them. But at the same time, we're really getting this thing, you know, focused on what's next. And that's why I really believe that we have to give these guys this plan moving forward on what is next. We owe it to these guys.
Now on to the Big 12. Commissioner Bob Bowlesby says that there's some clarity but not certainty as they're planning to play in the fall.
I feel good about the decision going forward. I believe our board feels good about it. And I think most importantly, we have some clarity for our coaches and our student athletes. And there's a difference between clarity and certainty. I don't think we have certainty in this environment, but we have been able to get some clarity.
All right. Real quick, Matt Baker from the Tampa Bay Times, who we've had on Covers College Football, said reporting that Florida State President John Thrasher says all ACC presidents are going to meet at 4:30 today on a conference call, and he believes it will be the final decision on whether to play or not. 4:30 ACC presidents meeting.
When you said that, my gut feeling was there goes the ACC. But I'm always of the opinion that they're all moving to the spring anyway. And maybe they come out today, Chris, and they say we're still game on. Maybe they say we're going to play in the spring.
Now, if they come out and change course, okay, just show us the data why. The infectious disease expert that they're using from Duke University,
yeah,
he should be at the center of all this. And he said Monday,
right,
he believes with the whatever the heart disease is called.
Myocarditis.
Yeah, myocarditis, that he still believes that they can play a football season in a safe way.
That will probably be the crux of their entire decision-making process right there. That's ground zero. All right, so 4:30 today?
Yeah, that's according to Matt Baker.
Okay, very good. Let's see. Here's Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, confident that Notre Dame can pull off a season safely. I don't know when. I guess, well, I mean, they're part of the ACC now here in the fall. This was on the Today Show today.
Yes, there are challenges. There are medical experts that certainly we are relying on in this very challenging environment. We have enhanced medical care. We're very intentional about what we're doing. And we believe that we can play safely and care for everybody, including our staff now. This is not just about the players. This is about, you know, I've got over 50 staff members that are put in this situation as well.
Okay, now here's Dabo Swinney, head coach at Clemson. And this is something we have discussed. If it's just the Power 3 and whatever, and then the Power 2 in the spring, are we going to have multiple champions? Do we put an asterisk? Do we not have a true champion? Dabo says, oh, yeah. This is a real championship.
You know, hopefully we're all able to move forward. And, you know, when it's all said and done, whoever wins it, wins it. That's the champion. I mean, it's the same way in every sport. You know, basketball got disrupted, but they're going to crown a champion. Golf got disrupted, but when somebody wins it, they crown a winner. When somebody's going to win the baseball, you know, MLS, soccer, you know, they're playing. Somebody's going to win a championship. So maybe it's a shortened season. Maybe it's not as many teams or whatever. But you best believe whoever wins is going to have to earn it. Ain't nobody going to give nothing to nobody. So you can only control what you control. And we just hope we can have the opportunity to play.
That is Dabo Swinney. Here's Heather Dinich, Indiana University grad. Talk about the Big Ten, whether they play in the spring or not. No plan right now to start in January. This is on Get Up.
Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren told me this week that he doesn't know what it's going to look like. He echoed the thoughts of Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, which says that there's a lot of work to do. Everyone has to remember that the commissioner's focus to this point has been getting their student athletes back on campus in a safe environment to be able to get on the field to the point where they were on Friday. No one was thinking about the spring until a skinny minute ago. So they have to get together a 12-month plan that protects the student athletes in terms of going right into the next season. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby, who's moving forward, was asked about the spring yesterday, and he said he thinks it's a viable option, but not one that they wanted to move into preemptively because there's no guarantee that the virus will be any better than it is now. And that's a major concern. We're all talking about the spring, but look, the reality is they might not get there anyway.
All right. Very interesting soundbite there. We will discuss more in detail next hour. And again, regarding playing in the spring, Jeff Brohm of Purdue has put together the foundation of a plan that we will jump back into again. Also, I have some comments about our conversation with Jay Williams. We had a great conversation with him. He's going to be part of the new morning show at ESPN Radio if you just missed it. By the way, you can catch it on a podcast later at 993ESPN.com, the Sheeman and Shepherd podcast. But we'll follow up with some more conversation on that. Plus, we'll hear from Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, John Gruden answering some questions about some rumors. So we got a lot of NFL on our plate as well. Stay with us. We are just warming up. And the 3 o'clock hour on a Thursday, Thirsty Nick with his Thirsty Thursday sports quiz. Now, I mean, it's just a 4-hour show in and
out. Lots to get to.
And, I mean, what Pete took today off. I mean, it's just us. We'll get to it. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.